Hey guys, super grateful to you all for tuning in and joining us on this journey to grow soccer in the US. You're the reason we keep on doing it. So a few of you have asked how you can support the podcast, and we thank you for that. So today we're shouting out Buy Me a Coffee. It's a platform that makes it so easy to give us a little digital thank you. You just go over to Buy Me a Coffee page, which is buymeacoffee.com/DKCUBuildIt. That's buymeacoffee.com/DKCUBuildIt, all one word. Pick your level and then buy us a coffee. That tip goes straight to us right here at DKCUHQ and is a super easy way, hopefully for you guys, to show some direct support and appreciation of this podcast. Look, we know everyone can't buy us a coffee, and that's okay. You tuning in and spreading the word is more than enough. If you do enjoy the show and are looking for a simple way to give back, check out our Buy Me a Coffee page. Just a $3 coffee is hugely appreciated and helps this show keep on ticking. However you support the Thought Pod, thank you sincerely from the bottom of our hearts. On with the show.
John, you good?
I'm good. Let's roll, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, leaders and fighters for freedom and liberty and the American dream, the best is yet to come.
All right, Charlie, thank you so much for joining us. We got you on, obviously, because of River Light, but we'll get to that in a moment or two. First off, just give us the elevator pitch on your soccer story so far, how you got to where you are right now.
Yeah, so for me, born and raised in Chicagoland, North Fox Valley, and started coaching at a young age. I'm the son of a soccer coach, so I don't know that there was any choice in that necessarily. At 18, I started coaching while I was still in school, and blessed enough to get a job in my hometown in Cary, and then from there kind of progress forward, took a couple years off to go to Kentucky for school, but coached locally here at Soccer's FC for a very long time, and then migrated over to Chicago City here in the last couple years and was the director of football there leading up the USL group, and then now moving over to River Light and Aurora with some of my friends for a new expansion franchise and hopefully still seeing the same level of success on that field.
Why Aurora? Of all places.
Well, obviously, we felt like there's a need in the marketplace in Aurora for a USL team. I know Dutch Lions is still playing out of there. For us, we targeted a larger population center that we could potentially take the next step forward. I think we have ambition to be a USL League One team at some point. Obviously, that's going to come with funding and success. So with Aurora sitting somewhere close to 200,000 people, it kind of fits the demographics. And then, looking at it, there is a large Hispanic population that we think is crying out for a professional level team. And then we looked and said, okay, well, we want to be in the suburbs. Where is a feasible location with the city that's willing to work with us? And it happened to be Aurora. And then on top of that, the other two partners, Chad's from Aurora originally, and Heather Biggerton lives in North Aurora. So it was pretty conducive from a facility standpoint and from a location standpoint for us. And so, looking at where a lot of players come from in Chicagoland, Kane County is rich in talent. And, we want to kind of use local players. So we just felt like it was a good marketplace for us to be in. And luckily, USL was very accommodating in terms of giving us a franchise with the rights of Kane County, which is what most Aurora falls in. So I just kind of came in place, kind of doing some market research, and we're excited for the venture.
How long has it been in the pipeline until, you announced a few weeks, months back, right? I forget precisely, but first conversation.
So it was announced October 7th. Believe it or not, it's only been in the pipeline since August. So up until the first week of August, I was still managing USL. We had a couple playoff games. We didn't go quite as deep as we would like to. It made a conference semifinal, and that took us to the last week of July. And then things kind of materialized from there, where it was clear that me and my staff weren't going back to our previous club. And, Heather and Chad kind of jumped on the opportunity to bring in a seasoned staff at the level and knew that I wanted to stay there. And I think for them, they just wanted to gobble me up before I could go somewhere else at the adult landscape. I think they saw that there's going to be some openings at some other organizations that are fairly prominent at USL too. And And so really, we're talking the middle of August till October 7th. You know, it was a six-week run-up till our launch date. So even now, look, there's no shortage of things for us to get done in the day-to-day. Looking 10 weeks deep into a project, you guys know as well as I do, there's a never-ending task. You need a nine-month run-up before your first game in order to make it feasible. And so for us, some of these clubs take a year in advance. We took 6 weeks before we were announced.
Nothing like laying foundations, right? Just nice and solid and absolutely. At least you've got history of the previous doing in the past. Is this your first startup, though, like when you were at Chicago City and where elsewhere, like it was the footprint was already there, right?
Yeah. So in the adult game, look, Chicago City wasn't previously doing anything on the men's side when I got there. So it was kind of starting from scratch, but they had already experienced WPSL on the women's side. And then my other stops along the way were either colleges, which were already established, or youth levels, which we're already firmly planted. So for me, it's really the first whole startup. I think there's some similar experiences between here and Chicago City in terms of starting a new USL 2 program. But there was obviously a little bit more support in the back end where you have X amount of staff coaches at your disposal, support staff, things like that. So yeah, it's really our first go at something brand new. And that's why it was pretty important for us to make sure the three of us kind of understood what our roles were and what our strengths were heading into it so that we can really focus on, you know, staying in our lanes, doing our tasks, because we got a lot of tasks to knock off the board for just three of us. And it's definitely different than stepping into an established program. I'll say that much.
For real, for real. Do you have an idea of your skeleton staff now going forward? Even if the positions aren't filled, you know who you want or what you want, rather, what skill sets you're looking for?
Yeah, so we filled the on-field staff positions. Obviously, I'll serve as the head coach for the USL 2 and USLW. Now, that gets complex, so we'll bring in an associate on the women's side. But my previous staff has migrated over with me from a previous USL 2 stop. So, you know, in terms of assistant coaches, goalie coaches, we kind of got that covered. But a lot of it is the community support staff is who we're kind of picking up along the way. You know, it's interesting because people want, you know, supporters groups here, which you don't always see elsewhere. People just support, right? Like, people want to start a supporters group for us. Cool, we're good with that. You know, we're working with some people that really want to help us raise some funds and build some partnerships in the communities. And then luckily the city of Aurora and the King County Board have been really helpful in making a lot of introductions for us and the off-field staff. And so really that's what we're building is the off-field staff. On-field is pretty well taken care of. You know, Heather's taking care of a lot of the admin work and bringing in interns here over the winter period. So really what we've been adding is just community support, game day staff.
Where are you guys calling home, or is that yet to be announced, or did I miss it?
Well, right now, home is Heather's basement. You know, that's the real bat cave. But home field, you have not missed it. We haven't made a formal announcement. We've gone down a couple paths, whether it be Aurora University or Moose Heart. Now, there's minimum requirements for USL 2, so it gets a little tricky. There is an existing franchise playing out of Aurora University, so we haven't been able to confirm that just yet. We are hopeful here in the next 30 days so that we can make a announcement on where our permanent home will be. A lot of the discussion with the city of Aurora has been centered around that and their future plans on hopefully building a soccer complex that's a little bit more conducive for the clubs like ourselves.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice, for a youth club, there's a lot of nice places to play.
There are.
But
there are.
The stadium and like the minor league type of atmosphere is a little tougher. The two you named make sense. So as you're focused on getting out the gate here, like, I think it sounds to me, just talking to you for a few minutes, like the soccer stuff's going to take care of itself. You're probably good at recruiting. You're probably like, your roster is going to be easy. So as you shift to the off the field stuff, and Heather maybe is taking the lead on that, what is the approach there and the strategy? Figure out how to pack the house every night.
That's a good question, because I think at this level, that's kind of the story. Is there's clubs that bring in 2,500 to 5,000 fans every night, and there's clubs that bring in 25 to 50 fans every night. Obviously, if you want it to be a long-term success, you need to be able to bring in north of 750 people in every home game, right, to make it financially viable for the long term. So our plan, look, we're not going to venture into the youth game right now. We'd rather build relationships with existing youth clubs to help us promote what we're doing here and kind of create something for their communities as well. So we're running some events, whether it be college showcases, small futsal tournaments, training camps, things like that for local-based clubs. And then really, we're doing a lot of things in the communities with local businesses, doing meet and greets, events, things like that. We'll have one coming up here in December in Aurora for our jersey release and our logo release. But really, we're just, you know, trying to get word of mouth out there in the city of Aurora and greater King County that we're here and we want to be family friendly. We're affordable. You know, this isn't the fire where you're going to have to spend a lot of money. You can get in the gate for, you know, $5. And if you're bringing extra people, we could probably work out a corporate agreement with you where it can even be less than that. Look, we're not going to be doing the things that these major professional clubs will do for you, but we'll make sure it's a family friendly environment that you can bring your employees to. And I think that's something that we've learned from the likes of you guys over at DeKalb County United is that, you know, the market's a little bit different. We can't pretend to be something that we're not. We have to, you know, be realistic about who we're catering to and what kind of events, but really that process has just started. Obviously our season ticket, you know, just went on sale, things like that. So we're just trying to get the name out in the community of Aurora, and we're getting in with some of their Hispanic leagues to try to get into that marketplace and just, you know, let people know that we're here. And then the hope is that year one, we can have a little bit of success in terms of on the field and in terms of bringing people into the stadium and then kind of build from there.
Who won USL League Two last year?
Ballard FC out of Seattle did. They beat, I can't remember exactly who they beat Lionsbridge in the final. But it was Ballard out of Seattle, and that's hyper local, the neighborhood of Ballard up there. And they do really well in terms of attendance. You know, I think they sold out almost every single home match last year. But, you know, some of the big teams, you know, you have Vermont, they've yet to make a playoff, but they sell 2,500 tickets for every home game because they are in touch with the community. And what we found is we've sat down with Des Moines Menace, Fort Wayne, Flint City Bucks, Vermont, Lionsbridge, these clubs that bring in good crowds. And what everybody seems to say is it doesn't really matter what you do on the field. It matters what you do off the field in terms of community engagement and things like that. So for us, we really do want to be hyper-focused on King County and Aurora and hope that we can do something meaningful for the community where they in turn want to support us.
Is he frozen? You there?
Did any of those? Yeah, I hear. I get it. I get it. I love it. Did any of those clubs give you any specifics as to, hey, these are community things that we do that, like, this little trick worked, or this, we turned a corner when we started doing this?
I think what we found out is there's not necessarily a secret sauce, right? It matters on the individual markets. So, for example, Lionsbridge really gears themselves towards families of four, people between 30 and 50, whereas everybody else is saying, no, you have to gear yourself towards the millennials, the hipsters, the younger people without kids. But I think in their marketplace, they're primarily families. So they really cater towards the families. They do a lot of youth soccer camps in the communities. And then there's other clubs like Ballard that really partner with a lot of the local breweries, and they get out there at a lot of local brewery events and kind of hit a different demographic of 21 to 30. So I think everybody's giving us little snippets, different things. The one thing everybody's kind of agreed on is that you need corporate partnerships, you need sponsors in order to kind of survive. You know, and so for us, I think it's taking a little bit from everybody. Can we get the right kind of sponsorships in the local community? Can we do soccer camps? Can we do clinics? Can we build relationships with the local clubs so that their youth players know who we are and by default, their parents know who we are? I think Aurora is a little bit unique, right? It's a pretty decent sized population center where there are people of all ages and races, and we have to kind of be inclusive and kind of have a little bit for everybody in terms of, okay, we can be family friendly, but we can also be a good event for a 25-year-old to come to a game and, you know, drink some local beer perhaps and enjoy themselves for $5.
I know that's, I might be talking over John. I don't know if he's got a lag, but that was a success that we found when we pivoted towards the family market rather than the soccer fan millennial market. And you're absolutely right. It's horses to courses, right? You don't know what your market is until you're out there in the market trying to entice people. I guess it also kind of depends on what venue you end up at, right? Like, if very simplistically, the local beer market doesn't sway if you're playing at high school.
Yep.
So, yeah, you can't really make that decision until it's always a domino effect, isn't it? But have you got people heading up your marketing and your community outreach, or is that still a work in process?
We do, and we'll have a campaign here that's released in the next month. We've been working with Fortress, which is a company out of Chicago. They're one of our primary sponsors, and as a result, They're willing to do some marketing for us. And we've had really good meetings with them. They're the ones designing our logo. They're the ones that will be leading our social media marketing campaign. And then locally, we have some local Aurora people that are inside the community that are doing community engagement for us, which started here before the new year. So we've kind of gone, you know, both routes, right? We've gone the corporate route where we partnered with a firm that this is what they do is marketing. And then we've gone the local route where there's people inside the community that just want to help because they want to build something special for their kids and they want to go watch high level soccer close to home. And so we're hoping between those two, where we have some experts that understand the media side of it, and then some experts within the community that understand what the people actually want. We hope by hitting both ends of that, that we can really build up some steam here heading into the new year.
Definitely. It'll come very quickly, won't it? That's what we know. It's just,
well, there's never enough time. You know that.
I remember someone once said to us, it's the off season. What are you supposed to do? Like, they were solely focused on the soccer. And we were like, that's almost like, we're not even thinking about that. We've got 9 months of opportunities, really.
There's so much beyond just what happens between May and August. You probably hit on the head earlier when you said, we're not worried about the talent. I think there's enough players for a lot of high-end teams in Chicagoland to pull players from and to select from there. And there's a want from these kids to come do something over summer where they want to play. And they want to represent a different team than just their school. But the stuff off the field, like, you have to figure out how to finance these teams. And I think that's the hard part. You have to figure out how to get people there. You have to figure out how to get partners that want to advertise through you or sponsor you. And you have to build agreements where you're going to have a facility to train at every day. You're going to have a field to play on that's conducive for the family environment and a game day environment that meets minimum standards. And anybody that thinks you could just build a team and show up on May 1st and start playing, that they couldn't be further from the truth. There's 90% of the work is done off the field between August and May. The other 10% is done by the staff coaching May through August.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And what you said earlier as well, about like finding who you're, I might have misheard it, but I felt like you were talking about finding, like, knowing what the market was and who your competitors were, right? It isn't, yes, it's the Chicago Dutch Lions and it's, you know, the soccer players, the soccer teams, right? But more than that, it's the cinema, it's the ice rink, it's everything else that the families can do now, right? So it's how to position yourself in that conversation.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think, look, King County's got a strong minor league sports system. King County Cougars draw very well, and it's an affordable, family-friendly environment. I don't think for us the competition is Chicago City or Dutch Lions or you guys or anybody else playing in any of the regional leagues. It's all the other things. Families can do anything. I mean, there's any number of things to do here in this metropolis of Chicagoland where if you're going to spend $40 to $80, you can do a lot of things with it. You know, you can't go to a Cubs game for $40 or $80 with your family, but you could certainly go to the movie and you can go to the drive-in or go to a casual restaurant, things like that. And really that's who we're competing with is what are you doing on your Saturday evening with you and your kids?
Mm-hmm. For sure. How many opportunities do you get to get it right next summer? Like, how many home games you got?
Well, so they haven't released the schedule yet in terms of who's in what division, but in USL 2, it's either seven or eight team divisions typically where you play either 12 or 14 regular season games. So that would give us 6 or 7 home games. We currently have a number of friendlies that we've started to set up. So we're hoping to get 3 or 4 extra home games out of it. And then if all goes well and we can get some fan support and the team does well on the field, which we think we can do, we're hoping that we can host a playoff game. So ideally we get 10 home games for the men and 10 home games for the women, including a couple professional friendlies that we have set up, which we're hoping can draw big crowds for us because they are against fully professional sides. You know, we've been having really good conversations with other USL 1 teams, Liga MX Expansion teams, things like that, to try to bring them into the area. We saw last summer a number of teams play against Liga MX Expansion teams and draw very well. And having a large population center from Mexico up here in Aurora, there's very interested parties in coming up here and playing us as well as other local partners that we can form that are competitive, meaningful matches. So we're hoping between the two teams, 20 home fixtures. A number of them will be double headers, though.
Yeah, double headers is definitely like, it cuts down the workload for everyone, but it focuses the workload on that day. But yeah, it's a huge win. And you've got a captive audience for the second game as well, right? It's a huge thing.
Where did the name River Light come from? Is that like Beer Light?
I you know what? I can answer that question. No, we did not just put a bunch of names on the wall and throw darts at them. That was one of the things somebody else asked me. So we've been given the market along the Fox River in the state of Illinois. So we felt like we want to kind of be geographically connected to the Fox River. So that's where River is. And then Aurora, the city of Aurora is the city of lights. They were one of the first cities in the country with electric street lights. So we've kind of played on that. We've toyed around with a lot of other names, whether it be Fox United, things like that. There are clubs that are already that play at the Path to Pro level. So for us, this was something that connects us to the region, but is not a overused soccer name here in the country, such as City or United.
Yeah, but John, I think he just had a pop at us. I think he did. I'm not sure, but it sounded like he had a pop.
Well, it better not be the last one. I mean, we're 30 minutes away. We better be popping off at each other every chance we get.
Well, trust me, we will be. Whether it comes back or not, we'll have time to. If you've got corporate partners doing your social media, they may not wish to play the game with us. But if they do, I'm here for it.
I just want to play. I want to play you guys in a friendly. That's why I think we find a charity and we do a friendly match. It's so close together, and I think, at least for this upcoming summer, we're going to be playing in different competitions. It seems to make sense where perhaps we can run a friendly out there and either split the gate or give the gate ticket money, revenue to whatever local charity we decide. And yes, our name branding is not as straightforward as DeKalb County United. Great name, great logo. The badge is wonderful over there. And I just hope that we can come up with something that is as meaningful as your guys' badge as well.
Go on, Joe. No,
I really
want to be negative for a second. I'm going to challenge just for a second. My concern with the River Light brand, God, Jesus, I've been here too long, is precisely that it isn't location specific. And I worry how you get people in your market to know that you're in their market.
Well, I don't know that a name gets, I don't know that a name tells anybody that we're in their market if they don't ever hear the name, right? So the big thing for us is getting out in front of them and explaining that we are a name that's, you know, we've been named after the community that they live in. They are the City of Lights and they live along the Fox River. And that's where the name derives from. And so regardless of the name, if we can't get in front of the people to give an explanation of who we are, you know, if we were Aurora, okay, for example, the previous team was Aurora Borealis, correct?
It was. That's where me and John had our first date.
So that could be, what is there, probably 25 cities in the country named Aurora. It doesn't say Aurora, Illinois, Borealis. Outside of this past weekend, I don't know that I ever saw the Northern Lights here in the state of Illinois, but just look, I understand what the question is with people ask that because that has come up. The league asked that, things like that. Don't you feel like you should put a city name in it? For us, as long as we can get in front of the people to explain the name, they'll know that we exist in our community.
Not for sure. Again, playing devil's advocate, right?
I think your explanation makes perfect sense, and I think it's a fine name. I get Nick's point. You have to explain it, though, and then it makes perfect sense. I think that's, you just said it. You have to get out in front of people and explain it. I'm sure as you continue to market and get your sort of your teasers out of what we are and why we are and why we're here and why this is what we're called, it really does make sense. I it wasn't a criticism. I was just curious.
No, and John, I ain't take it like one. I think that makes perfect sense because until it's explained, I mean, we could be from anywhere, right? I mean, we could be from any river in the country. So for us, we get that. And that's why it's important for us to really try to get out there and give the explanations and meet people face to face and try to get them excited about a team in their own community.
You got to be out there and doing things. What's the measurement like? Not to jump ahead to, again, another question Nick likes to ask. What's the measurement of success in 24 then for you guys as a brand new club?
Well, I think it's twofold. It's a little bit on the field and a little bit off the field. I think obviously at this level, everybody wants to, it can get you some recognition nationwide by winning at this level and make your brand known or your club known. But the real measure of success is kind of ingraining ourselves in the community. And if we can get 500 people at every game, I think we would call that success. If we can make a difference with some local charities, so I think that would be success. If we can run some meaningful club partnerships with youth clubs where we can provide a service that makes their youth club better and perform at a higher level and maybe do some coaching education, that would be success. I think for us, though, it's a little bit of everything, right? Can we make the difference in the community? Can we have success on the field? And can we get some people at the game where it's financially viable for years to come.
How much time are you guys putting into this? How much this is, I get asked this still, like how much time you put into the club, but where are you guys at this point with all the things you have to do?
Oh man. You know how it is, Johnny. It's not a full-time role from a fiscal standpoint, running clubs like this. There's not a six-figure paycheck at the end of the rainbow for anybody. So for us, we're honestly probably putting in close to 40 hours a week, each one of us, trying to manage the other workloads we have on the side, whether it be coaching for myself or Heather running her own company or Chad running his own company. No matter, it's however much time it is, it's never enough. We wish we could put in more. I think over the course of the last month, me and Heather combined have been doing 60 to 80 hour weeks trying to get it off the ground. I think our partners at home both understand why we're trying to do this and why we find this a meaningful project. And so sometimes that means working between 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock at night when other people don't do that. So for me personally, probably 40 hours a week right now. For Heather, 40 hours a week. For Chad, it's probably every waking moment. You know, he's the one that's really backing this venture and probably has the most to lose if it doesn't work. So I guess the simple answer is about as much free time as you could possibly put into it, you know, and luckily as a soccer coach myself, I have a lot of downtime during the day where I can put a 9 to 4 in, focusing on trying to find some sponsors or build relationships for us. So you know how it is. Some weeks it's 40, some weeks it's 20. It just depends what's available from a time management standpoint.
Yeah, that's a thing that I realized. Like there's certain things that we have to get. You just got to spread the workload out. You're being in the startup phase. You guys have a really good idea of what you want to do and how to do it, I think. We didn't really know what we were doing, which I think made it a lot harder. We didn't really know what the end goal was, and I'm not sure we do now.
But correct me if I'm wrong, maybe not having the experience previously, you were more welcoming into bringing in lots of different types of people into the venture, where maybe it allowed for you to spread it out easier. I think right now we're looking at a total of 7 people are involved in this venture for us, and that's it. We're trying to spread out the work amongst the 7, but I think had we not had previous experience in the league, we probably would have been open towards any number of people coming in and helping. Now, we're not in the business of turning people away that want to help us, but it's about to what capacity. So when people come to me and tell me they want to help me with player recruiting or player identification, well, I already think I know how that works and have a good foothold in that area, so we don't necessarily need that help. But if somebody comes and says, we want to help you build relationships in the community, we welcome that. And we want to bring as many people in that front as possible so that we can spread the work out, because maybe that's not what we are as experienced in and things like that. So, you know, we try to spread it around. Some people help us an hour a week. Some people help us 15 hours a week. You know how it is with the volunteers. You know, they give us what they can. You can't say, okay, you want to be a volunteer here, you got to work 40 hours a week for us. And we are trying to spread the work out.
You didn't hear that.
Luckily, there have been people that have been willing to step up and carry a certain load for us in areas that we may not be as versed in.
I'll tell you one thing that we still are trying to find our feet in this off season is, like, we're doing Feed My Starving Children. A bunch of us in the club and staff are doing that on Thursday. So we'll do something like that. We'll kind of be our community outing for the month. And then, you know, we walked in the pumpkin parade in Sycamore 2 weeks ago in front of 70,000 people. That was kind of our October thing. And we don't really have a focus of like, this is our mission specifically of this is the thing. We're going to support food pantries, period. We're very diverse and sort of getting the boots on the ground and trying to be out there and just letting people see us and the logo and, oh, they're always doing stuff, like just kind of content creating.
Yeah.
And being a servant to the community. So I think you get that too, that's an important piece.
Now, let me ask John, just out of curiosity, how far, you guys have a full year calendar for your community events of what you guys are looking to do. How far out are you guys planning these community events? Like, do you have, okay, the next 12 months, these are the monthly events that we're doing?
We're working towards that calendar. And actually I have been for 10 months trying to find things that I want. My goal is I want 3 things. I want the DKCU community calendar, 1 thing a month, nice and easy. minimum, the DKCU soccer calendar. So every month, like once we get in May, June, July, we're playing soccer. Can we do some sort of a youth camp or a something soccer related also every month? And then the academy, which I don't run anything with the academy that we have. What can we do with our academy to collaborate on something every month? That's 36 things in a year is a lot.
Yes.
But that's just the way my brain has separated it. And maybe it's not all three. Maybe it's two out of three every month. I don't know. But then we get invited, like we got invited to do a thing at the Day of the Dead celebration in DeKalb the other day. So we had a table and a few staff members went there and did a pinata thing. And so like we do extra little stuff like that too all the time. When now people, we've now coming into like year seven, people are calling us all the time asking us to like, quote unquote, make an appearance. And it's not the players because the players are gone.
Yeah.
It's just the staff and the, we just show up and try to have fun and keep the momentum rolling a little bit through this long 9 month off season.
Okay, that's good feedback. I really appreciate that. Sorry I missed you at the Pumpkin Fest. I got family in Sycamore as well, and it is a pretty great community event out there.
Life offers more. I keep telling Nick he needs to move.
It's not me you got convinced, John. You know this. John, I want to focus on one thing that you guys were both talking about right there. Was like marketing 101, right, is telling a story and like giving your customers, your paying people, something to bite down on and to follow through with. I feel like because of the nature of our roster and what it sounds like a USL 2 roster is they're so super college heavy that the players are kind of secondary to the story of the club. You can't build a narrative around someone that you see, you know, 6, 7, 10 times maximum in the summer and then that's it. There's no time for Johnny Smallpants to build an affinity with that striker. So the storytelling has to be, and you're in a prime exact place right now, the storytelling can be how we're building this club, like a daily, weekly video log, like we had a meeting with this guy, we had a meeting with that lady, we did this with this community partner. But like right now is the perfect time for you guys to be narrating your own story so that people can just come in and join the soap opera now so that when the time comes to buy tickets, they're already sold. Because if you wait until March to say, right, come and believe in us, you've then got 6 weeks of work to get them to believe in you.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, and that's something we've learned from experience the last couple of years. You know, so some things we got in the works, like there's always a camera around these days, and I'm not sure what the end goal is for what's going to happen with that. I have to make sure I watch what I say, but you know, I know there's something in the works there. And then obviously for us, player recruitment season seems to get earlier and earlier every year, where hopefully around Christmas time, we'll start to do some player releases in terms of signing. And myself personally, I believe heavily in Chicago-based players. I built the number one squad in USL 2 last year off of only Chicago-based players. We didn't house anybody like a lot of these teams. And so we try to build a narrative and a storyline about, we are using local players. We're taking players from open tryouts. We're taking players from the community that we're actually playing in. We will have a number of Aurora players, but on top of that, this is my primary coaching role. So I encourage the organization that I'm okay building a narrative around myself and what I can do for the local soccer community and going out to these organizations and kind of building up some steam. But you hit it on the head. It is tricky when these players aren't on contract for 40 games. They're not on contract year round. They're not going to make appearances in the middle of March when they have classes. They're not come out right now when they're in the NCAA tournament, things like that. So for us, it is about trying to pump out stuff on social media over the course of the next couple months, about trying to get some events in the community, whether it's an adult soccer tournament that we can run, just to get a storyline out there that, you know, we are trying to get players from the community regardless of age, because we are allowed to use overage players. It doesn't always happen because of the time that we train or the commitment of training that we have, you know, but, you know, we are actively trying to build those storylines about being a local club that local players play for, that has connections to the other local youth clubs in the area, but is not directly involved in running them. So you hit on that. That is the tricky part about these levels, whether it be Midwest Premier League, USL 2, is that these are not year-round programs. These are short sprints. And a bulk of the work, especially in ticket sales and things, has to be done between the new year and May. And you'll see some of those things start to come out through our partnership with Fortress and through our other media accounts that we have. And right now, But you guys are the third podcast I've been on in the last month. I don't know if that's gaining as much traction, but it's something. And then, you know, obviously with the launch of our social media platforms, you know, we've been able to get some stuff out there, but you'll start to see a lot more from us here in the next 2 or 3 months.
But it's slightly hypocritical because we are terrible at the back end story, the backroom stuff, or the front office stuff, rather, as you guys call it. Like, I don't want to be on video. John doesn't want to be on video. None of us want to be on video. You probably don't want to be on video, but some fucker's got to stand up front and say, hi, this is the face of the club, right? So,
you know, I don't mind you and John, your guys, I listen to most of the podcast episodes now, and it sounds pretty good. And I think maybe not on video, but on audio, it sounds all right.
Right. We've got great faces with the audio. You're right. No, we just, yeah, it's, I don't know. I know what I want to do marketing wise. I just don't know how to do it. And part of me is kind of envious of you guys, the opportunity you've got of like being at ground level, that all the things that you could do in terms of not in tandem to what we do, but that sort of thing of like, this is how you run a startup club. These are the problems that we're having. And like, almost that vulnerability would be a huge thing for you. But
well, and I think for us, look, what we've learned is we get to borrow things and steal things from a lot of other people. Because we'd like to speed up the process. In an ideal world, we could be the one Knoxville of the league where we can draw big crowds day one and make a quick jump to the professional level. But the harsh reality is that doesn't happen that often. That's the exception, not the rule. And so we've gone out and tried to steal little ideas from everybody and say, okay, is this something we can implement in our own strategy? And it's not always a yes. Sometimes it's okay, that worked for them, but that's not feasible in our marketplace. We're not going to go find a billionaire owner like some clubs have had. And, you know, for us, it is about stealing things. But there's things that we'll probably take off of you guys and say, thank you. We appreciate you guys learning through 7 years. And can we take some of that and put it in place from day one?
Well, just as long as you give us credit. And yeah.
Always.
All right. I'm mindful of time. So have you got any additional questions for us, Charlie, before I give the floor to John with one of his rambling closes?
Are you guys are still planning on having a women's team? What league are you guys going to play in?
The women will do IWSL again, I believe. One thing we found is they play, their league games are Tuesday nights, and
yeah,
college women really love having their weekends off. I don't blame. We do like, we'll train Sunday nights. They'll usually play games Tuesday, train Thursday, train Sunday. And, it sort of like isn't broke, and the experience seems to be good. That's one of those things I leave technical staff to advise us as a league that, or a board, that, hey, we'd like to do more or travel more, or roster wants more competitive regional, then we'll look at it. But really, like, take the Tuesday night, weekends off.
I find that training cycle interesting. So we train every day, Monday through Friday, that isn't a game day. We're in it to try to compete with the best, right? And in order to get the best college players, it's kind of what we have to do. Now, we're understanding when they have to miss things, but we want to compete with the Minnesota Auroras, who are drawing 8,000 fans a game, the Des Moines Menaces, that are drawing massive crowds. And in order to do so, we have to, A, provide a free experience for the player to play, but also a meaningful training environment for them with full-time athletic trainers and things like that. But I'm interested off recording, John, at some point about talking about what the IWSL under 23 division is like. I've never personally experienced it. I've experienced the men's side of it from an under 23 standpoint, but I understand what you're saying, that yes, these college players do love to have a weekend off. So, but I really appreciate you guys having me.
Well, yeah, give me a call sometime. We'll chat a bit more, because there's plenty. And obviously, thanks for jumping on it all. Hey, Evan, rival 30 minutes away. We really.
Lots of rivals. We haven't even played a game yet, John.
Good. So we were talking shit to Boring Atlas before we played a game. And then, but we're still here. So, you know, really. Hey, soccer is good for everybody. So we're happy to have you guys in the neighborhood. And whatever we can do to work together, we're all about it.
Yeah, look, we'll have the annual 88 Derby, and we'll find a good place to give the money to, okay?
Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. Charlie, thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
As John said, we wish you well with everything that goes forward. we will be keeping a watchful eye on you, and I'm sure we will talk maybe on the podcast, but definitely not on the podcast again several times. So good luck with everything, and we'll catch you on the other side.
All right, thanks, friends.
Bye, my friend.
Thanks, guys.